Cantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Chained by Casey Lee and Raven Storm, narrated by Louise Brenner and Ash Beverly. Chapter 1. Bailey. You're not from here, are you? I winced as the words left my mouth, but what else was I supposed to say? The diner was dingy and old, just like the forgotten highway outside. The parking lot was losing its battle to nature. Weeds broke through crevices of the parking lot, which was turning to gravel with each passing week. A root had shot up through one of the limited parking spaces, so only cars with high ground clearance could park there. More tangible evidence that this small town in rural Colorado was also slowly being reclaimed by Mother Nature. I knew everyone who came into my diner. Everyone. Not only because the handful of regulars and their tips were my only income, but because I had to be vigilant. I had to watch for others like me. But while this rumpled, stale-smelling man certainly wasn't what or who I was worried about, I hadn't been able to think of anything else to say. His tired gaze lifted from his coffee as he shook his head and mumbled something about a road trip in California. I sighed, missing the Golden State myself, the woods and the coast specifically, and not the people I left behind. I wouldn't think about him. Not here. At least that's what I told myself nearly 100 times a day, possibly more.
Bailey, order up!
The cook, Louie, slammed a plate of greasy breakfast food onto the metal window separating the kitchen from the main dining area, if you can even call this hole in the wall that. Shooting the dull traveler an apologetic look, I hustled back to the kitchen, balancing the heavy tray of platters like I'd been doing it my whole life instead of months. Louie wiped his hands on his apron.
I'll never understand how a tiny thing like you can heft all of that so easily.
I shot him a wry grin. I wasn't about to tell him my secret, either.
I'll never understand how you can cook all day and be as skinny as a rail.
Louis howled with laughter, even though I made the same joke at least once a week. The banter was safe, though. It was familiar. Personally, I loved the laid-back atmosphere and his willingness to pay me under the table. Not having a bank account made hiding and moving a lot easier.
2 eggs, extra bacon, and a Jimmy Dean omelet.
I handed the ticket with the customer's order over before picking up the hot plate to distribute to table 2.
Anything else?
I gave Mr. Foster, one of my regulars, my award-winning smile. His tips were shit, but he was the nicest old man.
No, thank you.
He picked up his fork to dive into the 4 sausage patties, buttered toast, 5 pieces of bacon, and extra cheesy eggs. If he wasn't careful, his daily meal was going to take him to an early grave. But it wasn't my business, and I wouldn't be here much longer anyway. I had to keep moving, or my past was bound to catch up to me. The phone rang, and a pad of paper and pen were already in my hands by the time I picked up.
Otto's place, what can I do for you?
I said. Otto was long gone, having left the restaurant to his son, Louie.
Oh, Bailey, is there any way you can cover my shift for me tonight?
Molly, one of the 2 other waitresses, begged me from the other line. Her nasally voice grated against my ear, and I pulled the receiver away slightly due to my sensitive hearing. I hesitated. It was nearly the full moon, and my body vibrated with the need for release. I knew I wasn't getting a certain form of release because of the lack of eligible men, so my desperation for a run was at an all-time high.
Carter has a fever, and Chad isn't picking up, the piece of shit. I'll owe you one.
She pulled at all my sympathy cards, sick kid and shitty boyfriend.
Yeah, sure, I said, sighing into the phone.
You're the absolute best. Thank you so much.
The line went dead before I got a chance to respond. Circling around the counter, I stopped by different tables to see if the customers needed anything.
The restaurant wasn't huge, so only two servers worked here in a single shift. There were six booths, four tables, and a long countertop with eight built-in chairs. The place cleared as breakfast winded down before the lunch rush. In between, I refilled sugars and ketchups, wrapped cutlery, swept the floors, and mopped underneath where an overenthusiastic toddler had had his breakfast. By the time dinner rolled around, my skin itched from the inside out. I stared at the rising moon longingly, counting down the minutes until my wolf could run. The moonlight bled between the expanse of trees lining the highway. The restaurant was a pit stop on the outskirts of a tiny town and surrounded by state land, which is exactly why I chose it. Running in the woods was always at the tip of my fingers. No, it wasn't living free, which is what I truly dreamed of, but it was close enough. "It's okay, girl. Soon," I whispered to myself. My focus shifted back to rolling silverware. It was a slow night, with only two customers total, which made this last-minute double shift that much more excruciating.
"What'd you say, darling?"
Louis leaned his arms on the metal window with no plates in the way.
"Nothing."
I gave him a small smile, placing a fork on top of a knife.
"Go ahead and get out of here," Louis grumbled. "It's a quiet night. I can handle any customers who come in."
I raised my eyebrows in surprise. This wasn't a usual offer from him. "Misery loves company," is what he always said while laughing his way back into the kitchen.
"Are you sure?"
I asked, trying not to let my hopes rise like the moon outside.
"You look so wound up, so I'm pretty sure any customers we do get, you'll scare away," he said.
I laughed at the comment, but the tension built in my shoulders. I hated when my need to run was apparent to humans, like my true nature would be blown at any minute. Louis shook his head with a snort.
"Get out of here already. I'll see you tomorrow."
"Thanks."
I fiddled with my apron, and it landed with a clunk on the counter. Louis raised an eyebrow at me. I laughed sheepishly, pulling my tips from the pockets. Oh yeah, I kind of needed those. With a wave, I was out the door. I didn't have a car, but luckily I found someone willing to rent a small room over their garage to me a mile away. The journey was quick, probably because I ran for most of it. Once inside, I threw my tips into a shoebox I kept stashed under my bed. Not the best hiding place, but this tiny town wasn't known for theft, and it was a hell of a lot safer than where I had spent most of my life. I peeled off my work clothes, leaving them rumpled in the corner. I didn't bother to shower, knowing by morning I'd be covered in dirt and leaves anyway, and threw on a summer dress with no underwear. It was simple, easy, and would cover me up long enough to get to the woods. That was all I needed. A short quarter-mile jog brought me to the edge of the forest. The woods sprawled across three peaks and hid a series of valleys. Reds and ambers tumbled around me as the earthy scent of the wild filled my nose. With each step, my body relaxed. My bare feet sank into the leaf-littered ground, and my eyes closed with a sigh. "Home," my wolf whispered inside of me. My pace quickened until I found my usual boulder pile to stash my clothing in. It didn't take long for my wolf to burst forward the moment the fabric slipped from my grasp. I'm happy there were no breaking bones or immense pain like you see on TV shows. Being part wolf was nothing less than magical. The shift was a realignment of every atom of my being. It felt like briefly losing myself to combine with the world around me before solidifying into another form. It's hard to explain to anyone who hasn't taken a psychedelic before. Not that I have, but from what I've heard, the connection to the world seems similar. A shimmer, a vibration through my body, and then it's over, and I'm in a different form. Although it's different if you fight it. I shook out my fur, the color tawny brown like my hair, and just as unruly. My hazel eyes were definitely my best feature, and despite Louis making fun of my small stature, I could kill a man with my thick thighs.
My wolf whined until I let go of my thoughts, giving into my base nature to live in the moment. A howl ripped through my muzzle, and I took off, tongue lolling to the side in a dopey smile. A fallen tree blocked my path, but instead of skirting around it, I bunched my haunches and leapt 10 feet into the air, clearing the top by several feet with an excited yip. Up ahead in a clearing, a small herd of deer grazed leisurely. I didn't slow down for a second, bursting through the tree line until the glow of the moon radiated across my body. The deer's head shot up in alarm, and they fled from my beast. I am predator. Hear me roar. Another long howl pierced the night sky as I chased after them. All in good fun, of course. There was no reason to kill a deer for a meal when I didn't have a pack to share it with. A pang of loss jolted through my body. Wolves weren't meant to be alone, yet here I was. I knew it was for the best, but I missed being a part of something larger than myself, living and working together, raising pups. Yet here I was. Padding through the undergrowth, I enjoyed the stretch in my limbs while I listened to the night music, chirping crickets, hooting owls, and the other tangible sounds that reminded me that, here in nature, I wasn't completely alone. Hours passed before my wolf was satisfied, and my human worries took over once more. The sun would rise soon, and I had another shift at the diner today. I needed to get at least a few hours of sleep. Taking my time getting back to my clothes, I nosed along the ground, catching the scent of a rabbit that had crossed this path about 4 hours ago. My right ear twitched as it caught the flutter of a bird's wings 50 feet away. Pack, my wolf breathed, when an earthy aroma crossed my senses. I stilled. With a tentative step, I lifted my head into the air and sniffed deeply. Pack. Two shifters had crossed here earlier, their scent oddly familiar. My hackles raised, a small growl rumbling in my chest when it hit me. It wasn't just any two wolves, but ones from the rival pack, the Yellowstone pack. Shit, did their territory extend this far south? If they caught the scent of me, they'd still recognize me as part of my old pack, the Yosemite pack. And if that happened... I shook out the shudder running through my body. What if they already knew I was here? What if they were hunting me? Or worse, told my old pack about me? I was dead either way. I raced back to the rocks where my clothes were hidden. I needed to leave now. Stay. Fight. My wolf growled in my head. I returned the rumble with a verbal one of my own. That need of hers, of mine, was exactly why I needed to flee. If not for my sake, and for my mother's. A howl emerged in the night. I swore, and ran for it.
Chapter 2. Derek. The music was loud, and the beer flowed freely. I wasn't the biggest fan of parties, but tonight I had to suck it up. It was my party, after all. The hanging white lights from the trees were a nice touch, filling the small clearing with a soft glow. Trucks parked around the edges, tailgates facing front to hold food and people. We had blankets and fold-up chairs, plastic cups, and blue jeans. It was noisy, loud and exuberant, with children running around as adults laughed and danced. It was more of a tailgate than an engagement party, but I kept a smile on my face, trying to enjoy it. I supposed I was simply still struggling with my new role as Alpha. I cared immensely for everyone in this pack, but socializing had never been my strength. Now that I was Alpha, their eyes followed me constantly. It would take some time to adjust. Our pack lived loosely together deep in the woods, in small, serviceable cabins we'd built with our own hands. We were deep enough in the wilderness that hikers couldn't make it out here, and we worked with the natural cover of the trees, which shielded us from aerial photography. It didn't seem like the best plan on paper, but hiding in plain sight had worked for hundreds of years for this pack, or so I'd been told. I was waiting for the inevitable moment when someone flew over with an infrared camera, looking for a lost hiker, and instead finding what looked like some sort of commune. Then what? This cookout was supposed to be a celebration of my betrothal to the previous Alpha's daughter, but it was mostly a drunken party in the woods. It was 1 a.m., and everyone was still raging. I was happy my pack seemed to be enjoying themselves, at any rate.
"You could at least pretend to be pleasant."
My mother shot me the look, and I struggled not to cower under her gaze, despite being 27 and 6'5". I would hesitate to call her petite at 5'7", but most people seemed small compared to me. Her brown, curly hair was much lighter than mine, as well as her complexion. People usually said we looked nothing alike. Until we got angry. "Mother, don't." She sniffed, her eyes flashing yellow before she put her nose in the air.
"If you can't be bothered to enjoy your own engagement party, then at least allow me my contentment. Should I remind you that you're the one who agreed to the match?"
I bit back the urge to growl, despite knowing she wasn't completely correct. Mating with Rebecca hadn't been my idea, but it had seemed like the best solution for everyone. Plus, we were childhood friends. Rebecca was the only child of the old Alpha, and our betrothal had soothed over tensions after he had yielded the pack to me, however reluctantly. Though yielded was a polite term for having one's throat laid out millimeters from my teeth. I snorted, pushing down the euphoric rush that typically came with any reminder of my victory. Instead, I scanned the crowd for my intended, frowning when I didn't immediately see her. Rebecca was beautiful, in a preppy, 17 magazine sort of way. Her blonde hair went nearly to her waist, and small freckles coated her light skin, which she was showing plenty of tonight with her short white dress. Her blue eyes had a way of pleading with you for the smallest things. Not that anyone would dream of refusing her. Seeing those red lips pout was the worst. Rebecca was well-liked, beautiful, and we'd grown up alongside each other. Together, we would have strong pups with the bloodlines of both Alphas. The mateship had been her idea, technically. A show of good faith in exchange for her father's life. Tradition usually dictated the losing Alpha died. A dead Alpha couldn't stage a coup, after all. I granted her request with the promise she would be my mate. I'd been proud of myself at the time. I was a new Alpha and had saved myself a tiresome search for a mate, all in one fell swoop. So why wasn't I happier?
"Derek, are you even listening?"
My mother's curt voice pierced my thoughts. My anger left me in a rush. I never could be truly cross with my mother. In the end, everything I'd done had been for her. She was one of the few people who got to see me as anything other than the Alpha. I sighed, but brought my attention back to my mother. "Sorry, Mama." Her eyes sparkled with mischief, appeased for now. "Where is Rebecca?" I asked. My mother's hands flicked haphazardly toward the crowd, and I finally found her, holding court with the other female wolves. Her preening prickled me almost as much as my mother's, but I took a deep breath and let it go. Rebecca was entitled to how she acted. It would be her duty to keep up relations within the pack, just as it was my duty to protect it. I grabbed another beer out of a cooler and downed it, crushing the can in my fist and tossing it to the ground. My mother huffed in irritation, but said nothing. Not even the pack matron could chastise the Alpha in public. Her eyes softened when my gaze caught hers, and she turned back to the other mothers. I shook my head, happy at least that she had found purpose in being pack matron. Her mate was dead, and I couldn't kill the wolf responsible. Speaking of the devil, Rebecca's father skulked on the edges of the crowd, which was mostly concentrated around the large bonfire in the center of the clearing. Victor snarled when he caught me looking, but I only leveled my own glare at him. Victor had the look of a once-proud alpha gone to seed. His dark hair was flecked with bits of gray and white, his body long and lanky. His pale skin glowed from the fire. I struggled not to physically react to his scent. It smelled like something bitter, yet spoiled, like a good plant left to rot. He lowered his head to the ground and slunk away. Right. That was why I was Alpha, because Victor was a slimy piece of...
There you are. Dance with me?
Rebecca's small hand wound around my bicep. She flashed a vivid smile at me, and the red haze cleared a little from my vision. My hand snaked around her waist, and I pulled her close. She smelled nice, if nothing else. She gave a loud giggle in return, and I tried not to wince at the sound. How could such a noise come from something other than a squealing rabbit? The next sound she made was a soft whisper in my ear, and that was much more pleasing, until the words registered.
I see you glaring at my dad. Stop it.
I growled, a deep rumble that shook my chest. I loosened my grip on her waist. She blinked, a quick moment of fear radiating from her eyes. I hated how they were all afraid of me, but it wouldn't stop me. Someone had to take control of the situation and protect my mother and the rest of the pack. Tell your father to stop being such a useless bag of shit.
Stop it,
she said, and my wolf flared at the mild challenge. The urge to make her submit to me was strong, but I pushed it away. You stop it, Bex. How can you defend him after what he did? Rebecca's pale skin flushed, and her gaze dropped to the ground in embarrassment.
You promised not to bring it up again,
she hissed, claws bursting through her nail beds to grip the small of my back. Arousal prickled into my awareness as her small claws bit into my skin, and almost as quickly she released me, her face flushing. Technically, she could be punished for drawing my blood, which was unfortunate, because nothing turned me on more than a woman who wasn't afraid of me, if such a woman even existed. Rebecca whimpered, convinced she was in trouble. Sighing and releasing my anger, I ran a hand gently through her blonde hair. I'm angry at your father, not you. She nuzzled her face into my neck, and a surge of protectiveness rose in me. I might not have been stupidly in love with Rebecca like I'd seen with other mates, but I was content to protect her. It was what was right, and what duty called for. It was expected. It was the only thing in my life that was apparently going as planned. My plans certainly hadn't been to become Alpha, but after Victor lost his mate, he came after my mother. That didn't even come close to the fact that he'd killed my father a year ago to become Alpha in the first place. Stepfather. Fuck. What did it matter? He'd been the one who'd raised me, and Victor had easily beaten him in a challenge. Too easily. I'd always suspected foul play, because my father had always been the strongest Alpha in the pack. There was no way Victor could have fairly beaten him. I didn't believe it then, and I still don't believe it now. It was bad enough Victor had stolen my birthright and my father in one fell swoop, but to sniff after my mother, who had still been grieving at the time? Alphas were supposed to lead and to protect the pack, not murder their way into the position because they wanted someone else's mate. It took me only minutes to pound him to a bloody pulp, at which point Rebecca had begged for his life, offering herself up as my mate in return. And now here we are, eating cake and hot dogs and pretending life wasn't just one giant series of fuck-ups. Rebecca huffed, exasperated.
You can't be angry at him forever, Derek. It's over, and you won.
My grip on Rebecca tightened as I tried to control the rage. How about someone in the pack murders me to get at you? Then see how you feel about the situation. She cringed at the nasty tone in my voice, but I wouldn't budge on this. Rebecca would learn not to bring it up, or she'd get the nasty alpha wolf. I hated that side of me, but accepted it was now a necessary evil. Other packs respected nasty. I just wish I didn't hate it so much. My mother hadn't been too thrilled when I became the new alpha, even though he'd murdered her mate. I wasn't sure what hurt more, that I'd lost the man who'd raised me, or that my mother didn't believe in me.
I should go. See you tonight?
Rebecca shimmied out of my arms, giving me a suggestive twitch of her hips. Our contract specified that we couldn't consummate the bond until the ceremony, but I also knew it was mostly for show. Rebecca would do whatever she needed in order to keep me from her father's throat. Screw the contract. Perhaps tomorrow, I muttered, ignoring the disappointment in her eyes. I wasn't in the mood for her company, even if it was likely to cheer me up. Despite everything, Rebecca always tried to please me. Yet it didn't feel right. It had never come close to the way my mother had described her own mate bond. I suppose it was because Rebecca and I weren't actually mated yet. Regardless, I made a mental note to discuss it with my mother. She'd had two mates already, so if anyone was likely to have insight, it would be her. Her stature was poised, confident as she spoke with the other females, putting a hand on another's shoulder to offer help or a bit of advice. Gods above, that woman's strength left me breathless. I couldn't imagine fleeing your pack with your child and leaving your mate behind, then being forced to take a new one for your own safety. I shook my head, not able to comprehend it. I barely remembered our flight from the islands and the ensuing whirlwind that ended up with us landing with the Yellowstone pack. We weren't exactly accepted as easily, being foreigners. It wasn't our brown skin and hair. The pack was diverse enough, but English wasn't our first language. At least my mother had had protection as our new alpha's mate. That protection hadn't extended to me when it came to the other cubs in the pack, so I quickly learned to become better than all of them. Smarter, faster, stronger. I sighed, trying to breathe out my stress. I missed my father, even if he had been my stepdad. Semantics be damned. Looking around at everyone talking, laughing, and playing, I was flooded with a sense that everything would eventually come together. Rebecca would be my mate. I'd protect the pack and keep one eye on her murdering father. If my mother could make a mateship work that hadn't been her fated mate, then so could I. After all, Victor clearly couldn't be trusted. The only reason I knew he wouldn't kill me was because he wouldn't jeopardize his daughter's position. She couldn't rise any higher in the pack hierarchy than being my mate, after all. He may be a murdering piece of shit, but all signs pointed to him truly loving his daughter. I threw Victor one last snarl before I stormed off into the woods, seeking nothing other than my own company to be alone with my racing thoughts. Those closest to me followed me with their eyes, but didn't say anything. They were mostly used to my moods, and knew I needed more time to run and settle my thoughts than the others did. Besides, Rebecca and my beta would soothe everything over. They always did. I let the darkness embrace me.
Chapter 3. Bailey. My eyelids were slow to pry open, like I was being woken from a coma. What the hell happened? My wolf was calm in my chest, but my heart was not, as I remembered what had happened the night before. Shit, how long did I run for? I whispered to myself, staring at my muddied bare feet.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?